Good afternoon to you. It's Wednesday, the 5th of May, 2021. How are you? You're with me, the BBG Richie Allen. It's Wednesday's programme. Tweet me, it's BBG Richie on Twitter. I've got two brilliant guests for you this afternoon. You'll want to hear them. Hayden Hewitt joining me right soon with massive breaking news about LiveLeak.com. And later on, we're going to meet a hotelier who's welcoming red-pilled guests to his hotel. Bit of good news, bit of good news. Let's do the programme.
It's the BBG, not the BBC. You're listening to the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford in Greater Manchester.
It's the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Yes, Hayden Hewitt and Dino Joachim from the Nightingale Hotel on the Isle of Wight will be with me this afternoon. I've given you the Twitter handle, so tweet me between now and the end of the programme. Love getting your opinions, as you well know. More like it weather-wise today. More like it weather-wise today. Mad yesterday, wasn't it? Hailstones and snow on May the 4th. Snow on May the 4th. It's either climate change or Armageddon. Either way, we're royally screwed, aren't we? Mad scenes yesterday. Mad scenes. Even madder listening to broadcast news today. I'm not going to play you any audio because I've got so much to get through in the monologue, but read about and listened to a story today about a four-year-old referred to the Tavistock Gender Clinic. Did you see this? A four-year-old girl who believes that she's a boy. And her daddy went on Instagram to talk about it, said that he had his daughter's permission. Right, like a four-year-old is mature enough to say, yes, daddy, go online and reveal our family business and get my name and photo in the Daily Mail. Go ahead, daddy. What a dipstick, I think. And yes, I've just been misgendering a four-year-old, in case you hadn't noticed, because I'm a right bastard these days. That's a scary story, that, you know, isn't it? A four-year-old girl says, I'm really a boy. And off to the gender clinic. Hang on a second. Have any of these idiots read The Famous Five by any chance? Eh? God be with the days, eh? Enid Blyton, you know? Bit of Enid Blyton. Anybody read any of The Famous Five books in that family? Georgina, you know, and Timmy the Dog. Georgina, you know? No? Who insisted on being called George? Anyone? No? Aunt Fanny, you remember Aunt Fanny? We used to laugh at that when I was a kid growing up in Ballybeg in Waterford. Reading The Famous Five, we used to giggle our little butts off laughing at Aunt Fanny. That's kind of ironic, because Fanny means something very different in Ireland. Something altogether more unpalatable in Ireland, it means. In the UK, it means bum, you see. In Ireland, it means, what's the appropriate word for a primetime show where kids might be listening? In Ireland, it means minge. Okay, moving. I just don't care anymore. I just don't care. You might have seen this. A husband was cleared of wrongdoing in a court up here in the Northwest at Manchester Magistrates Court. A gentleman, God love him, wheelchair-bound gentleman, had been accused of controlling and coercive behaviour over his partner of 17 years, his wife. But he was cleared of it. He was cleared of it. He was asking her to dress more like a woman and was criticising her scruffy clothing. Apparently, Leslie, the wife, married to wheelchair-bound Paul Marsden, Leslie was kind of fond of the old tatty leggings, the jeans and the old scruffy t-shirts there. Tatty leggings are a real turn-off, aren't they? During the marriage, apparently, Mr. Marsden told the wife that she had fat legs and, well, he said, you know, you might wear skirts and take a bit more pride in your appearance. They ended up in court over this. He could have gotten 5 years in jail if he was convicted, but they found him not guilty. Mrs. Marsden is living with her best friend now and hasn't spoken to Paul since June 2020. I'm doing the best I can not to focus so much on COVID, and I'm getting desperate now. But that's a fantastic story. Is that coercive behaviour now? Eh? You look like a bit of a chav, love. Those pants make you look fat, eh? Eh? There's some beauties around here, by the way, where I live. Go to any newsagent where I live, and before you've paid for your newspaper, a woman will walk in her pyjamas. Invariably. Classy. Shameless, you see, on Channel 4 was a documentary. It wasn't a comedy. It's a documentary. Are you planning on going out like that? Yeah. I love that. I can get into the future Mrs. Allen's head just by little phrases like that. You planning on going out like that? What's wrong with me? Nothing. Fair enough. Just to get into her head, it works a treat every single time. Facebook has upheld Donald Trump's suspension. You might know this by now. Nobody seems to get the seriousness of this. Hayden Hewitt will. I'll ask him about it after we talk about LiveLeak. You know, allowing Facebook and Twitter to effectively own social media and all of that, what it means for free speech. Well, Facebook has upheld Donald Trump's suspension. Sky had the guy on, not Donald Trump, but Sky had the guy on, Thomas Hughes. Who the hell is he? Thomas Hughes is the director of the Facebook Oversight Board. So the Facebook Oversight Board was set up by Facebook to investigate Facebook and Facebook's conduct when it bans people and suspends people and all of that. So it got the Facebook Oversight Board to look into the suspension of Donald Trump. And the Facebook Oversight Board upheld it. Here is the guy, Thomas Hughes, speaking with Sky News this afternoon. It's quite good.
Well, I mean, the Oversight Board has found that the suspension of the former president, Donald Trump, was necessary, essentially, to keep people safe. They concluded that you know, Trump's actions on social media encouraged and legitimized violence and therefore constituted a severe violation of Facebook's rules. I should also point out, though, that the Oversight Board actually rejected the indefinite suspension that Facebook had leveled as a penalty and said that actually Facebook must apply rules that are clear and consistent and transparent, and that the essentially invented penalty was arbitrary in nature and gave too much power and discretion to Facebook about deciding, you know, who should be on the platform, who shouldn't, without making clear what the rules are and without allowing users to understand what those rules, how those rules will define their speech. So within 6 months, essentially, Facebook has to re-examine this indefinite suspension that it imposed on the 7th of January, and it has to impose a new penalty that's consistent with its rules. And in doing so, it has to take into consideration the prospect of future harm. And this could involve permanently removing the account or imposing a new suspension. And the board also made a number of recommendations for the future about how Facebook should be handling these types of cases, particularly including how rapidly they should escalate them, the fact they should have a dedicated team, that they should be more transparent and clear in the rules about strikes and penalties. And very importantly, they should ensure that where they think an influential user or a political leader, where they think there is potential harm, so really sort of imminent risk of violence and discrimination and lawless action, where they think that level of harm exists, they need to do a test and an assessment before they allow someone back on the platform if they've been suspended.
Talk us through this. If you think, well, if the board thought that the posts are so dangerous, why not suspend him indefinitely?
It might still be on the cards. Here's the answer. This is Thomas Hughes now. He was one of a member of a panel that decided to uphold Trump's suspension, right? Why not suspend him permanently?
Well, what the board is saying is that it is a severe violation, but at the same time, what Facebook must do in order to comply with international freedom of expression standards is that they have to have rules that are clear, consistent and transparent, and users need to be able to understand what those rules are, and they need to know that the actions that Facebook will take are going to be necessary and proportionate. So whilst this is a specific case, obviously, in relation to Trump, it's also a wider case. It also has wider implications about how Facebook treats users, how it handles its decisions, how transparent it is, and how accountable it is. And at the same time, the decision includes those recommendations that say, you know, moving forward, you need to have better standards, you need to have better rules, and you need to have a clear set of rules that speak to situations in which, you know, a political leader or an influential user may incite violence or discrimination. And in those contexts, you have to be, as I say, consistent, and you have to ensure that the harms that may be resulting from that kind of speech are assessed and taken into account and used that for a decision as to whether, if someone is suspended, whether they should return.
Whether they should return. At no point in the conversation this afternoon did the presenter ask him, the guy, Thomas Hughes, director of the Facebook Oversight Board, if he felt that, well, companies like Facebook and Twitter hold far too much power in terms of determining what people get to see and what they don't get to see. This is the standard of journalism. I talk about it often, so I won't bore you. But she didn't ask him that. That's the only question, really. You're not concerned that, really, all that power concentrated in just such a, in the hands of a small group of people, that they get to determine what you are exposed to and what you are not exposed to. But she didn't ask him that, because they are dire, these presenters. They are dire. By the way, a number of you are telling me that Fanny means the same here in the UK as it does in Ireland, and that it is in America that Fanny means derriere. You're right. You've properly right to correct me there now. I think that's the first time in my life I've ever been wrong about anything. No, the second time. The other time was when I thought I was wrong. That's right. Yes, yes, yes. Indeed. Yes, that's right. So, yeah. So when did it become a... When did it become a slang term, a slang word for a woman's genitalia, the word fanny? Anybody want to look into that? Maybe you'll find out. You might tell me on Twitter. I look forward to it. I can't wait to receive the fruits of your labours. Now, wrote about this on richieallen.co.uk today. Check out my website. It's the best website in the world. Now that liveleak.com is gone. Fantastic website. It's the best website. Decided from here on in, it never did Donald Trump any harm just to brag and boast about things. Whether they're true or not doesn't matter. Best website on planet Earth, richieallen.co.uk. A number of unions wrote to Gavin Williamson. He's the Education Secretary. Why? Well, they want to... Well, they've demanded of him that secondary school students continue to wear face coverings in classrooms until June the 21st at least. So teaching unions, the National Education Union, Unison and GMB all wrote this letter and said face masks are an essential part of controlling the spread of COVID, but also protecting their members. Their teachers, their members are teachers. We want you, Gavin Williamson, to protect our teachers from catching coronavirus from a student. Now, this is nonsense. I don't have to tell you that. You know, this students, pupils don't get coronavirus. They certainly don't pass it on. And there is no evidence that since schools were opened twice, they were opened in November last year, they were opened again a few weeks ago, there's been no increase in infection. So this is madness. Unions asking for children to continue wearing masks. And on my website, I link to a couple of studies that show that the wearing of face masks is in fact very dangerous for children. Anyway, okay, why am I telling you about this again today? Because on talk radio this morning, a GP called Dr. Renee Hunderkamp, hope I pronounced that surname right, Hunderkamp, I think that's right, Dr. Renee, she's a GP, she told Julia Hartley Brewer about the massive damage lockdown, not only face masks, but lockdown has caused children. She's not happy about the face masks. She tells Julia Hartley Brewer that the masks are damaging learning and turning children into nervous wrecks. Dr. Renee Hunderkamp, GP.
So I don't know about you, Julia, but I'm a mum and I'm also a GP and I actually care about children. And when I see letters like this, as I saw yesterday, I do wonder whether these unions actually care about children at all, because the damage that we're doing with these face masks to young people who are at the stage in their life where they're learning how to interact with people, they're looking at faces, they're reading interactions, they're learning when things are good, when things are bad, and how to judge things. And they can't do that anymore because they can't see anyone. But at the same time, we've got all of the vulnerable people at home vaccinated, we've got all of the vulnerable teachers vaccinated. Kids do not die of COVID or get very ill. They really don't, unless they have an underlying health condition. And those children should also be vaccinated. So what are we doing to our children? We are just making them nervous wrecks, and I'm seeing that in GP. We are actually interrupting their teaching. I've had teachers who are patients say to me that they spend half of their lessons telling their kids to put their masks on. The kids are touching them all of the time. They're shoving them in and out of their pockets, on the floor, in their bags. They're not changing their masks. So they're just harboring these little filthy things and putting them on their faces on and off when they're told to. And at the same time, they are now actually terrified of social interaction with a human face that doesn't have a muzzle on it.
And that is the thing to me that I just find so damaging. And I see parents all the time with children who are in primary school age wearing masks. I mean, not required, not necessary, not medically advised. And I mean, it terrifies me. My sister, who's got a relatively newborn, I think about 9-10 weeks, was at a mother and baby class yesterday, sent a photo, you know, and all the mums are wearing masks. And I've got to be honest with you, it kept me awake for about an hour last night. I was so angry about it. I was shaking. I think,
don't blame her for being angry about it, looking at photographs of mother and baby classes with mothers all masked up. Do any of these mothers have a Scooby-Doo about the damage they might be doing to their children who can't yet speak, who can't yet emote through vocalisation? Children who can't yet, because they're not old enough yet, to say to their mum, "Mum, I need this," or "Mum, I need that." Children who are learning about their mums and other adults through reading their facial expressions. It's madness, isn't it? I know it's an overused word. It's lost its lustre, maybe. Its appeal, it's overused, but it's madness. Madness. Madness reigns supreme wherever you go. I see it every afternoon. I had a conversation this afternoon with James Dellingpole, having a chat with him about a couple of things. And we were talking about the spectre, you know, of walking outside your house and going down the road and bumping into people wearing masks. People wearing masks while cycling. Postmen and postwomen wearing masks outdoors while pushing around those trolleys with all the mail and all the parcels. Madness, you know. Sean says, Richie, fanny was used as slang in the 1830s. One of the first was in Jane Eyre, I believe he says. Jane Eyre, of course. Now, that's a book I never read, believe it or not. An English graduate. Yeah, I never read Jane Eyre. Never did. Never. Never. Angela says, Richie, I had a great Aunt Fanny who lived until 1952. And so I imagine it wasn't something funny until after that time. That's Angela. How you doing, Angela? And Classic Film Scores on Twitter, @scoresclassic, says, Richie, my close friend went to a GP appointment at her surgery to be told to sit in an empty office while she spoke to her doctor in the same office on the phone. The office was full of private confidential patients' folders where she sat alone for 20 minutes. It's madness. It is madness. Classic Film Scores. I'll tell you what's interesting. Somebody told me something very similar recently. I was told by a neighbour of mine, somebody who lives around the corner, that they went to the surgery, the doctor's surgery. There's a number of them in Salford, right? I won't tell you which one. Went to a doctor's surgery for an appointment and sat in the waiting room while speaking to the doctor who was in an adjoining room on the mobile phone. On the mobile phone. You have to wonder, is Jeremy Beadle going to step out at some stage? Jeremy Beadle, Henry Kelly, and Sarah, whatever her name was. Game for a laugh. Jeremy Beadle is going to step out. Jeremy Beadle is going to take to a helicopter with the biggest megaphone ever built. And Jeremy Beadle is just going to smile that big beardy grin. And it's just all a load of bollocks. We're being pranked. Dom DeLuise is going to jump out somewhere and say, hey, this is a load of bollocks. We've been playing you for 15 months. How could it be possible? How could it be possible that you go for a doctor's appointment and a receptionist says, sit down? 072-632-455. Is that your number? It's the one we have on file. It is, love, yeah. Stay there and the doctor will phone you in a minute. But he's in there, is he? Or she, you misogynistic bastard, Baldy. Yeah, yeah, but because of COVID, it's best if you just stay there. Well, why did you get me to come in then? Could have done it from the house. And Muppet. It's exactly 20 minutes past five. This is the Richie Allen Radio Show. The biggest radio show in the world. Ever. Ever. With the most listeners in the world ever, the greatest, Donald Trump. I'm telling you. Yeah, so let's move on. Susanna Reid presents, co-presents these days, I think she's missing Piers Morgan, Good Morning Britain on ITV. And she had a guest on this morning called John Ashton. He's a professor, John Ashton. He loves a bit of lockdown, does John? Loves it. He's partial to a bit of lockdown. And he doesn't want us to go back on holidays because it's just too effing soon. And he says, well, the low case numbers at the moment are very seductive, but we have to be very careful. You will hear Susanna Reid, then you will hear John Ashton. Feast your ears.
When I look at the numbers, for instance, you know, some of our most popular destinations, yesterday we had just under 2,000 new cases, but Greece had just over 1,000. Same for Croatia. Portugal only had 58 infections yesterday. So there are countries which are much safer places to be than the UK right now.
It's seductive, isn't it? But look what happened in Germany, who did very well last year, and then it went off course, you know. You have to remember, if you're standing...
Oh, this is a great bit now. This is the bit that had me rolling around on the ground, banging me fists, laughing hysterically. Listen to what he says.
Standing in a bar.
Yeah, hang on now. Well, let's go back. I round it there. If you're standing in a bar...
If you're standing in a bar in Portugal having a drink, you may be sharing the same breath as somebody who's come from another part of Europe where there's high levels of the virus.
Oh, it sounds very scientific, that. That's worth hearing again, isn't it?
Sharing the same breath as somebody who's come from another part of Europe where there's high levels of the virus.
If you're standing in a bar somewhere, Cyprus maybe, Santa Ponza, you could be sharing the same breath as somebody who's come from another country where the cases are much higher. So don't go on holidays, people. Don't be bringing back any of the dirty COVID germs.
You know, it's not as though you're guaranteed to be sharing breathing space, particularly indoors, with somebody who's come from a safe area.
There's no guarantee that you're sharing breathing space with someone who came from a safer area. He went on in that interview, this dipstick, to say that it's morally wrong to go on holidays, even though the government says that you'll be able to sometime this summer. This is the Richie Allen Radio Show. My name is Richie Allen. Hayden Hewitt is going to be with me in a couple of moments' time. He and I will discuss massive breaking news that liveleak.com is no more. That's huge news, by the way. And in the second hour, we're off to the Isle of Wight to meet Dino Joachim. Spoke with him on the phone this morning. Lovely bloke. He's got a hotel where he says he only wants red-pilled people. He doesn't want any mask holes. That's people who wear masks. Or vaxa holes either. I like the cut of his jib. So Dino will join me in the second hour. I'm going to play some appropriate music for Hayden. I don't ever do that. I normally play something a bit silly when he comes on. But he's a metalhead, is Hayden Hewitt. And this is a bit metallic. In fact, it is Metallica. This is Enter Sandman on the Richie Allen Radio Show. It's Wednesday's programme, May 5th, 2021. You might want to get the earplugs out now for the next 3.5 minutes. Come on! Enter Sandman from Metallica on the Richie Allen Radio Show. 26 minutes past 5 o'clock. 26 minutes past 5 o'clock. Let me just get rid of the old music there. My next guest is no stranger to you. He's a great friend of mine. He's based in Manchester. He's the man behind TriggerWarning.tv these days. Check it out on YouTube if you haven't before. That's youtube.com/TriggerWarningTV. But he's most well known, I think, for being one of the co-founders of LiveLeak.com. Now, I won't waste any time telling you what you already know about LiveLeak.com. It's one of the most important websites in internet history. I think if anybody ever writes the book about the internet, the genesis of the internet and where it went, LiveLeak.com will have its own chapter. I found it incredibly useful. and amazing during the mid to late 2000s. Some of the videos that were on there coming out of every country in the world, you know, real stories from real people, journalists who couldn't get access to mainstream television and radio channels, revealing information that was very uncomfortable for governments around the world. So much so that my great friend and colleague Hayden Hewitt on numerous occasions was contacted by governments and intelligence agencies asking him, would he remove content on LiveLeak.com? LiveLeak.com is no more. Sad day for me. Let's welcome back to this programme my friend and your friend, Hayden Hewitt. Welcome back, mate. How are you?
I'm not bad, thanks, mate. How are you?
I'm great. I'm sad. And you know I mean that because I've been using LiveLeak.com since I discovered it. What's happened? Why is it closed?
For quite a while, yeah. I mean, well, let's boil it right down. The world's changing a hell of a lot, and add to that 15 years of doing something. You know, it's basically 15 years of being held down and kicked in the teeth. You reach a point of like, we just can't do this anymore. We just can't do it. It's time to do something else.
That's
literally it.
How much of a factor was the size of the site, the bandwidth and all of that? And you never took any money from anybody. Neither of the partners involved would ever. You've never taken any money. So that obviously presented a big problem. It was user heavy. At one time, it was in the top 200 websites on planet Earth. You're talking millions of views a month. How much of a factor was that over the years?
I mean, obviously, it's a massively stressful thing to know that each month you have to cover an absurd amount of money with diminishing sort of ad revenues,
yeah,
and things of that nature. That wasn't like the nail in the coffin, but it is a factor that after all this time of that constant grind and that constant pressure, it's risk reward, isn't it? And I don't even mean financial. It just, we feel like we did what we could do with it. Yeah, you know, we felt like we'd done all we could. We couldn't achieve perhaps all the things we wanted, even going forward. So we had a very similar conversation to the one we had prior to opening LiveLeak in 2006.
Yeah.
It was, what should we do? What should we do? And we just decided we wanted to try something completely different, just completely different. We've been in the trenches for a long, long time. I'm still keeping one toe in the trenches sort of with the alt feed site that I'm developing and, you know, and everything else. But we just, we needed to do something completely new.
We'll talk about that in a minute, the new direction. I want to hear about that. And alt feed is very interesting, of course, as well. But the thing about I don't know how much you're aware of the enormity of LiveLeak. LiveLeak filled a massive vacuum when it came along. It really did. Because while other video sharing platforms were maybe not as censorious as they are now, they still were. There were things you couldn't put on there. And you had citizen journalists. I like that term. I don't like the campaigning journalist, because that's not a journalist. But a citizen journalist is a journalist, uploading material that sometimes very authoritarian governments didn't want them putting out there. And you facilitated those journalists to share that content with millions of people. I'm not overselling this or over-bigging you up. How aware of that were you at the time? I mean, you were flying by the seat of your pants. You say that, but I think you're being a bit modest as well. It was huge that at the time.
I think it's going to take a long time before I can gain any perspective on LiveLeak.
Yeah.
From the minute we opened, it's just been madness. It's been absolute madness. I mean, to me, you know, my day to day were mostly full of people calling me a censoring Nazi because there were things.
Yeah. Ironically.
Basically, my overriding sense of LiveLeak is people assuming I'm a thin-skinned Nazi, which is quite a conflict of interests, I'll be honest. Yeah. a thin-skinned Nazi who just doesn't want people to do anything. And that's what I dealt with mostly. I was the shit magnet.
You were the public face of it, that's why.
That's what I was there for. I was there to take the beatings and everything. But I think we achieved something absolutely amazing. But I have no perspective. And that's not humble bragging or false bragging. You know me well enough. No idea. I've got no idea what we did, how we did it. I think if people knew what people put into that site, they probably wouldn't believe me.
Oh no, that's a whole other conversation, no doubt about that. But as a journalist, as I am, I can tell you how massive it was becoming aware of the existence of the site. Massive. And just to kind of double down on that, speak to us for a moment about the, I presume, innumerable, the amount of times that you were contacted by, let's be honest, state actors who were who tried to compel you to take stuff down from the site, which, as far as I know, you never did. That had to be scary, that, you know, a family man, you know, to be...
take stuff down like that is if they presented a case that was genuine OPSEC that could get people hurt or killed.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, and it's very rare. That is super rare. But then, because you don't want to be a party to something, you know? You don't want to make things happen. We're supposed to show what's happened. But even then, that is so rare. That's like hen's teeth. One that always sticks out in my mind, one of my favourite ones, and it's the least contentious of all. There was a firefight, I think it was in Iraq. A guy in a Humvee, or on the back of a Hummer, sorry. Or is it a Humvee? No, it's a Humvee, the military one, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's laying down some fire with a large gun. I'm sure somebody else would know what it was. And some insurgents were firing back. It wasn't terribly dramatic. But then we got contacted by a branch of the US military saying, you need to take that down. So I said, why do we need to take it down? I said, you've just got to. I said, no, you've got to tell us. You can't compel us. He said, well, OPSEC, they could know where we are. And my only response was, dude, they're shooting at you. They know exactly where you are.
And you could have said, but you always stayed neutral, which is the amazing thing about you. Me, I couldn't run a site like LiveLeak because obviously I'm not neutral, number one, and I don't have a diplomatic bone in my body. I would have said to him, get the effing hell out of that country, maybe, and then they wouldn't be shooting at you. But that's another argument entirely. And you were dealing with all of this stuff. And I wouldn't have been aware of that, of course, even as a journalist. I wouldn't have known at the time.
Nobody knows what went on with life. Chances are nobody ever will because of a combination of NDAs and trust. nobody's ever impartial or neutral in reality as a person. I'm not.
No, I know that, but you applied the principle of parking to one side your own personal point of view, which is brilliant.
Which what that led to was everyone deciding we were completely partial and completely biased against whatever they did, against them.
Yeah.
But to me, I always figured if people from across the spectrum were complaining, I was doing it right.
Yeah.
If everybody thought I was against everybody.
It's a great rule of thumb, isn't it, Hayden? It's a great rule of thumb. Can I just say this? You won't like me saying this because, again, we see the world differently on so many different issues, which is great. It's wonderful and educational for both of us, I like to believe. But one of the things that's very important, we wouldn't know about the level of support that was being given to so-called Islamic State by Western intelligence agencies. We wouldn't know about that if you hadn't done your job and allowed those videos remain on LiveLeak.com. You know, the Toyotas and all the equipment and all of that. And that...
A very strict policy.
Yeah.
Strict policy. If it was within the rules, it stayed.
It stayed up there, yeah.
And that sometimes that was very uncomfortable. Like when we allowed Fitna. That caused me so many problems.
Remind us about that.
Yeah, Dutch politician Geert Wilders made a video about Islam. And it was just like any crap video you find on YouTube.
Yeah.
But he was a politician. and no one had let him release it. So his people got in touch with us, said, can we put it out there? And we just said, well, upload it. And if it's within the rules, fine. It was within the rules. Nothing I personally agreed with, but it was within the rules. Yeah. So, and then half the Netherlands logged in that night.
Yeah.
And I had to move my wife out of the house, and just it was just chaos for a while. It was.
I'm laughing now, but that isn't funny. We talked about this before. We talked about obviously the cartoons, that big story, of course, in France. That's a serious thing. You didn't necessarily agree with Geert Wilders, no more than I do, but that doesn't matter. It wasn't in violation of the rules. He has an opinion. He is a politician. He's well known. So let him put his video with his point of view up there, even though that might have caused you some proper grief.
Oh, I was getting it from everybody that those few days. I'll never forget. First of all the press got in touch. So I made a policy. I'm not talking to anyone about this because I am not defending the video. I'm not doing it. And that's all they'd do. They'd pick something out of the conversation to make me out to defend it.
Yeah.
So then they couldn't find where I lived because I'm always quite careful about that. But they did know roughly what area of Manchester. So they were desperately trying to do that and put that in. The Guardian, some of the others. I'll never forgive them for that.
But how could you forgive them? So this is a national newspaper that knew that maybe some radical Islamists might come looking for you. And that's disgraceful, that.
But they all came for the radical Islamists. Then we took it down for 48 hours while we put some security in place for my family.
Yeah.
And all the threats then came from the other side. In fact, Michelle Malkin, the American commentator, I think it was her.
Yeah.
Called a coward. You didn't show it.
No.
You have millions of dollars in bodyguards. I'm just some dick in Manchester. You know? But again, that these are the extremes. Most of the time it wasn't like that. You know, these were the extremes. Most of the time it was just the general stresses and strains of dealing with thousands of angry people. It's genuinely, I don't have any perspective on Liveleak. From the minute we opened the doors and saw the numbers on the first day and all the people screaming about Ogrish through to today, I just, you know, I've met some wonderful people through it. We've lost some wonderful people. One very recently, I had to attend his funeral online. Because I couldn't go there personally, obviously, because of travel restrictions and things. But it's been amazing. I've met more good people than bad. And for that alone, it's been worth it. And I've experienced some amazing things. I've had dinner at NATO, for God's sake.
That's right. Wow.
So, yeah, it's been absolutely amazing. But I have no perspective. It's still a blur, and it's 15 years. That's a long blur.
I know, you'll need time, I suppose, to digest it. I mean, you had the Panorama shows, you had Paxman. I mean, at some time or another over the years, everybody wanted to have a go at you and the site for allowing something, for hosting something that was deemed to be wrong. They obviously talked about the execution videos. But I'm going to say this, hosting the execution that was surreptitiously filmed, the murder of Saddam Hussein. I don't care what anybody thinks of Saddam Hussein. Everybody's entitled to their opinion of him. He was extrajudiciously murdered. He was murdered. And his execution was shocking. Kangaroo court, it was horrendous. And I think people needed to see that, to see what we're capable of over here and what we did to Iraq.
That's one of the days I remember very, very well as well, because the site was very young. And one of the guys who was with us at the time, he left a couple of years later. He's a marine biologist, a very successful one at that. He found the video. He found it really early. And we thought, well, we don't want to put it out just yet because we can't cope with this. So we sat on it for 8 hours. But unfortunately, it looked like everybody else was as well.
Right.
So we released that video. And I think within about 3-4 hours, that was the only video you could watch on Liveleak. Nothing else worked.
Everybody was going there. And can I ask you on a personal level, we can hear the young man, or the young fella, as we say in Ireland, in the background.
That's somebody else. Oh,
somebody else's kid.
I think I'm strolling around outside.
I know you to be a great guy. You've got great time and love for your parents and your wife and your family, and you're thoroughly decent, and you've spent most of your adult life campaigning for free speech and for the free sharing of information. Over the years, do you feel you've seen so much stuff, the worst of humanity? Do you think in any way that you've become, this is a real tabloid question now, but I do mean it, desensitised to it, do you think? Do you think it's had any impact on you?
I actually think as I've got older, I've become far more sensitive to that stuff.
Wow.
Far more. It upsets me more than it ever has. It's never been something I've sat there, you know. Can I be really crude?
Of course.
I've never sat there having a wank watching that stuff, Richie.
Of course.
No, the older I've got, the worse it's got, because the older you get, the more you learn and you empathise. And you see, at the same time, you have some kind of professional distance. And I've always worked really hard not to let it permeate into my life, because, you know, I'm ferociously protective of my home life, ridiculously so. And you just keep it boxed off. You keep it boxed off. There's things I can't unsee. I remember in Elgrish, we were making a documentary, I mean, a proper one. And we had the voiceover done by this Canadian lady, and I was editing it, and there was some really bad stuff. It was me that canned it. It left the decision to me. After 7 weeks of work, I canned it because it was too dangerous. But I remember, you know, when you're editing, you have to watch things over and over and over.
Yeah, you do, yeah.
I remember one night I was driving home from editing, and I could not get it out of my head. Could not get it out of my head. So I had to have a word with myself and distance myself a little bit more and box it away. Yeah. But I don't sit there watching these sort of videos. They're just there.
They're just there. I know that. And the crude thing you said was a very important thing to say, because people like you over the years have been accused of, you know, getting some sort of
thrill.
Exactly. Thrill out of this stuff. It's important. I mean, the Saddam Hussein thing, I did come across that on LiveLeak.com by accident. I didn't know it was going to be on the day that I was on the site pretty regularly. And it kind of hardened me, that one, because I was sick for about 3 days after seeing it. I was dreadfully upset. Like, you know, even though I'd seen quite a bit as a journalist, I'd been to people's houses where bad things had happened. I'd met people who had terrible experiences. That affected me pretty badly. And it kind of hardened me a bit to that. It's the reason why I asked. We've got Hayden Hewitt on the line. Folks, LiveLeak.com, one of the most important websites that has ever existed, really, has come to an end after over 15 years. Hayden's been explaining why. I understand it. I understand his reasons for it. We'll talk now, I suppose, for the next few minutes about when you put LiveLeak.com into your search bar and you press enter, or into the URL bar, it's going somewhere new. Where is it going, and why? What is it?
It's a website called Item Fix. I think if people are going to look for a LiveLeak sort of fix, they're not going to get it there. It's a website for sharing and creating videos for social media. You know, you can add things to them, create compilations, add sound bites, upload your own, do all your editing. It's a world away. It's a creative tool. It's a fun place. It's just a bit of fun. You know, that's literally what it is. There's no greater depth to it than a place to share, enjoy, and create things, which is a massive change.
Well, it is, isn't it?
Massive change. But it's required. I mean, what could we do after Lively? What could we do along those lines? We've done it.
Yeah.
You know, we did Ogrish, we did Lively, we've done many other things in between. And like I say, in terms of text and things like that, I'll keep my toe in the water with alt feed. I'll still be bellowing on trigger warning, but all these things. But I think the big video site thing might be better left for other people to enjoy, and enjoy the stresses and strains.
Somebody might take up the baton. Right. Somewhere in the world, somebody might be inspired by it and think, you know, I'll give it a go.
The guy at BitChute, Ray, I know there's a lot of talk about all the right-wing content, or the far-right content, I should say, and things like that. Ray's a good guy. He's trying to build an uncensored platform. It's going great guns. is there a lot of stuff I don't like on there? Yeah, but that's not my problem.
No, but it would have been the same on LiveLeak, wouldn't it? This is the thing. There would have been a lot of stuff on LiveLeak.com that you would have vehemently disagreed with, but it was up there anyway. I hear what you're saying loud and clear.
There are a lot of other sites available, you know, for all kinds of things. But, yeah, I spoke to Ray from BitChute a couple of times, and he seems like a good guy.
He's a good guy. He's a good guy.
He's in it for the right reasons, as far as I know. If you're listening, Ray, please don't do something to make me regret saying that.
don't, yeah, yeah. Don't change your gender, Ray. Don't change your gender. You're a man. You're not a woman.
Don't have any bodies under the patio or anything, dude. Just, but yeah, there are other guys out there that can run with that now. You know, we did our thing, rightly or wrongly, well or badly. We did what we thought was right and what we could. And I think it was a blast.
Hugely important, Hayden.
I do think.
If it was a blast for you, it was massively important. It was at the time, it was operational. And when it was in its pomp, it was massive because of the things that were happening geopolitically at the time. It was the only place to get uncensored and unfiltered content so that you as a journalist, if you were a journalist and if you knew your job, you could look at that and you could cut through the chaff and get to the heart of what was going on. It was huge. For me, last thing I'll say before you come back in, for me, I will love it till the day I die for exposing what was really going on in Syria and elsewhere. Now, again, people will have opinions about the Assad family, historically.
This video is up from both sides.
Yeah, from both sides. That's right. It was hugely important. And, you know, I don't know if we'll ever see the likes of it again, but I hope we do.
Everything's a time and a place, isn't it? Everything's a time and a place. And there'll be something amazing. There has to be. We can't just, the rest of the time can't be Facebook and Twitter. And
no. What do you think today of Thomas Hughes, then, this guy, the director of this group that Facebook set up to investigate it, this Facebook oversight board? We've upheld the ban on Trump. We'll review it in June, I think, and all this. What do you make of all of that?
I just think, I hate them. I genuinely hate social media. As much as fun I have on Twitter, I hate it. I think it's what's caused us most of our problems on the internet. It's what's destroyed people's ability to think with any kind of nuance whatsoever, whether by algorithm or education, behavioral modification. I detest them. And banning Trump is ridiculous when you look at the crap on there. It's them showing how big they are, how powerful they are. And then I'm reading today people saying, oh, if they let him back on, I'm leaving Facebook. So that's like being in the KKK. And every time I read things like that, it does make me feel, even though we're not responsible, and, you know, I'm not trying to, no delusions of grandeur, but I feel like we failed. We failed so badly. When I saw how the comments were on LiveLeak for the last few years, I felt like we'd failed.
You saw a change, didn't you? You saw a change, yeah.
Yeah, I've watched it for years, and it's killed me because it just turned into, I want something for free and I want to dominate everyone with my opinion regardless of anything else. And it's like we never learned.
That's
it's
really like saddened you didn't... because we had a drink one night, you and me, over at Trigger Warning, way back now. Not when I was on, but even before that we had a chat, before this lockdown nonsense. You and I had a good chat. And you were there at the beginning of the internet. You embraced it. You got into it. You weren't a geek or a nerd. You might say you were, but you weren't. But you loved it. You loved the possibility. So you were very much involved early on with chat, with forums and live chats. It was much different then, wasn't it?
It fascinated me that you could have venues with people of all beliefs and opinions, and yes, they'd argue and fight because people are people, but it wasn't as polarized as it is now. It wasn't as baked in that we must hate everyone that disagrees with us, and we must therefore, if someone disagrees with them, attribute to them all the worst things we can think of,
or try and destroy them,
their entire personality to be about that one thing. And that's what I think social media has encouraged horribly and
deliberately. Do you think It must be deliberate, Hayden. I know you're not a conspiracy. You're not like me. You don't go down that road. But surely it was designed to do this.
No, I think it wasn't. See, this is where we differ.
Yeah.
I think it was designed for one thing, to keep people on your site.
Right.
Now, what's come from that might be different. And there's more wiggle room. But for me, those algorithms were created to say, stay here. You don't need anywhere else. Yeah. And they use some amazing techniques at Facebook in order to capture websites so people didn't want them anymore and put everything they have into this site and stay on it all the time. And because of doing that, the way it was done, the bubbles it created, the things it encouraged, the things it put in front of you, it's like LiveLeak didn't do that. We had a featured section of stuff we thought people might watch, but literally the criteria was, we think people might want to watch this. Everything else on the site was as it was uploaded. You weren't, nothing was hidden from you according to an algorithm. Nothing was presented to you because of an algorithm. And that was for a purpose, not just because we were too cheap to make an algorithm. And Lord knows, if we'd made it ourselves, it would have been terrible. But we don't believe in that.
No, you never wanted to interfere with the reach of any channel owner on LiveLeak.
I don't tell any to think, to see, to who to talk to, who to belong to. If someone's popular, they're popular. And that's just the way of it.
By the way, this algorithm messing around, you might know this, dear listener, but you might not know, but I'm going to do an advertisement now. If you need to have a website built for your business, I'm telling you to get in touch with Hayden Hewitt and ask him to quote you for building your website. He's fantastic at doing it in the aftercare. And it's not just because it's me either. I know other people who have worked with him who've not been friendly with him. And the aftercare and all the help, he's absolutely tip top. And he's the guy behind the latest version of richieallen.co.uk. Listen, you know me. We don't sit around bragging about our reach or any of that nonsense because it doesn't matter ultimately. But since Facebook sent me all those messages in the last couple of weeks telling me specifically, very, very blatantly, that we're going to stop your Facebook posts reaching people. I mean, I've got the screen grabs. It's had a big impact on the amount of visitors to richieallen.co.uk. Huge impact on it.
All of this shit horrifies me.
Yeah, it's terrible, isn't it?
And yet, you know, I tell other people, make a new platform, do something. And it's like, we need an alternative to Twitter. No, you really don't, because it'll turn out the same.
Yeah.
Embrace small sites, you know, by smaller, you know, whatever. Embrace independent sites. It's not all about convenience of having everything in one place.
No, it
isn't.
So Altfeed then is a new... We talked about it briefly last time you were on. So it's a few months old. It's just getting off the ground. Altfeed, tell us about it.
Funnily enough, it's been closed for about 2 weeks. I started a major overhaul on it and then got caught up in both work, because we're all trying to make up for lost time, and also the item fix thing. Altfeed.org is a place. It's going to open again. It will be open next week by hook or by crook again. It's for people to post blogs, links, embeds, you know, make their own quizzes, whatever it is you want to do that the site allows, it's for people to do. And the rules are very, very simple, very simple. And I just want to create even a small space where people can put ideas out there, have some fun while they're doing it. And you know, and it's not, I'm not trying to build a new LiveLeak or Twitter or Facebook. You know what? If a few hundred people dig it, I'll be very, very happy.
Yeah.
Because now the time's gone to build monsters, because the pressure that comes with them from the big guys, it's impossible now.
Oh, you can't do
it's
it
impossible.
Now.
Impossible.
Even with your even with your nous and your contacts, you couldn't do it now. They wouldn't allow you. Talk about antitrust. My God, they'd come after you big time.
It's finished because no one bothers now.
No.
You know? Then guys that do, like BitChute, every small mistake that you'd have gotten away with years ago, because mistakes happen, is punishable now. Everything's punishable. Everything's just shite.
Yeah, it's shite. Right? It's a brilliant scientific language to us. It's just shite.
It really is just shite. So,
you know, I was thinking of you the other day on this whole thing about, you know, actually conversing and having a dialogue with people of a different point of view. When I, in the late 90s, I found myself in a newsroom at a commercial radio station where there were three news presenters, three news readers. They worked in shifts. You had me as a producer of talk radio in there. You had the presenters. And we all, often of a Friday afternoon, we'd all end up in a newsroom arguing about something that had happened or some political story or whatever and shouting abuse at one another. Nobody ever got offended. Nobody ever got upset. Nobody ever felt that they'd been personally slighted or demeaned or injured because of anything anybody else said. And then we went to the boozer. God be with the days.
We have our chats. When we'll have our chats, you know, and tell, like, we'll be on the phone for an hour.
Yeah.
Sometimes well, voices will be raised in passion, if not anger.
Yeah.
And but you know, at the end of it, we might disagree on something completely.
Doesn't matter.
Stomach, mate. You know, it doesn't matter. Because that's not all you are.
When did it start mattering? You've been around for years. When did it begin to matter most that you agreed with me? Otherwise, we can't move on. When did that happen? When did it happen that, right, if you don't agree with me now, if you don't accept that I'm right, we're finished. When did that happen?
It's been creeping up for a long time. But I think when it became en masse was sometime around 2007, 2008, when I first became really aware of what's this?
Yeah.
Where's this attitude coming from? And I just watched it grow. But, you know, the roots of it and the causes of it, it's been building for years. Social media has just accelerated it. The internet was never going to be allowed to be open and free. And the worst offenders are those that have grown massive properties off the back of it being open and free.
Yeah.
And now to change that for everybody else, like Mark Zuckerberg.
Like Zuckerberg,
I believe
yeah.
there should be rules for the internet. Oh,
you know my Zuckerberg theory, don't you?
You
know my Zuckerberg theory. I know you totally disagree with this. And of course, I have no evidence whatsoever. I think Zuckerberg is CIA, I think. I think he might have been CIA when he was at uni. I could be totally wrong, but it just kind of makes a bit of sense to me. I don't know
what he is. I do know that Facebook, it might have enriched him massively, but it's not doing him any good at all.
You'd wonder why he just doesn't just cut and run now. I mean, you got billions, just go, you know, leave it to somebody
his
else.
Eyebrows. I mean, I know I've gone bald, but I've kept my eyebrows. How bad are things when your eyebrows leave you?
Yeah.
You know, it's just weird. And
hey, listen, I can't, by the way, we've got about 3 minutes left. I cannot not mention this to you. By the way, folks, altfeed.org is where you'll find altfeed.org, which we've just discussed. You'll also, if you go to liveleak.com, it will default to itemfix.com, which does genuinely look very interesting. I'm going to check it out, if not later on tomorrow.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We've got a long way to go. It's, like I say, a creative tool. You know, share cool videos and then mess with them.
And then mess with
them. It's got an edit. You can edit your own compilations together online. It's a tool and it's a bit of fun, so that's itemfix.com.
Go there. Now, in the 3 minutes we have left, I'm going to be honest. I could make jokes and I won't make jokes. I'll just play this pretty straight because it's important as well. You've become a genuinely sincere, in my opinion, zealous defender of the rights of women. I think at the same time, and I've watched this very closely, You're certainly not in any way trying to embarrass or target trans men or trans women. You don't do that. You're a zealous defender of the rights of women. I can't not ask you about this story in The Mail Online, which seems to be genuine, he says, ironically, The Mail Online, but about the four-year-old born a girl, one half of twins, who feels that she's a boy. Daddy's gone public with it, and the kid is gone, well, hasn't gone off, but is going to the Tavistock gender thing. It's mad, isn't it, that?
We spoke about a few of these things on Trigger. I think it's important. You have to draw a distinction between actual trans people and trans activists.
Yeah.
There's a huge difference. Trans activists are going to hurt trans people just as much as they hurt everybody else. No child of that age is actually trans. It's a tomboy.
Yeah,
and you know we used to let them grow up and be whatever they're going to be. Maybe they'd just grow out of it. Maybe they'd always be a bit masculine. Maybe she'd grow up to be a lesbian. Maybe she'd grow up to be a trans man.
Yeah,
but as old, what choices did he really have? The parents put these ideas. I don't care what they say. They're lying bastards. Parents put these ideas in these children's heads. You know, one in a million might be genuine. I don't know. But it seems we're getting an awful lot of them now. And that's because of the parents. You've only got to look at half the parents.
So let me ask you on that question then. So in your opinion, and you can't be sure, it's a guess, the dad in the story today who's gotten very excited about the attention he's getting because his no doubt about that. What should happen in Europe, and you're a father, so you speak from experience, I'm not a father. What should happen is when the little girl starts saying, I'm a boy and I want to do boys' things, you just stay out of it and let the child just act it out, basically.
Let the child discover. If that's the path she's going down, be there for her. You know, but for now, I want to do boys' things. Yeah. Okay. Do boys' things.
Here's a cricket bat. Knock yourself out. Not literally, but off you go.
Have as much fun as you possibly can and see what happens. Because at 4 years old, you might want to be a moon rocket or a banana as well.
Yeah, that's right. And
send kids off to have that fun to them. You know, just we're erasing childhood now because it's about ideologies. I mean, that dad, all the people applauding him online now. Aren't you a good and virtuous person?
Yeah, yeah.
Aren't you good? You wonderful. People get caught up in things. It doesn't make him evil.
It really doesn't. He's just misinformed.
He doesn't deserve terrible abuse.
No, he does not.
Like that.
Of course not.
He's caught up in something he's got no control over.
I recommend that folks go to the Trigger Warning channel on YouTube, because Hayden has discussed this with many of, I'm not going to say stakeholders, because I'd be an arsehole then, wouldn't I? If I said stakeholders, I'd be a proper dipstick. But Hayden has spoken to trans folks. He's spoken to people on all sides of this. YouTube.com/Trigger Warning TV. You'll find him on Twitter. It's at Hayden Hewitt. I'm not just going to dump you out now. We'll have another couple of very quick minutes. So you'll get the final word.
The week after next. By the way.
Oh yeah, that sounds brilliant. I look forward to that.
Have a couple of drinks. Let's do some shouting.
Yeah, I'm going to get a taxi. I'm not getting an Uber. I'm getting a taxi. We'll have a few sherbets while we have a good chat. I'm looking forward to that. So just to finish on Live Leak, I'll give you the final word. Obviously, it's emotional for me. And later on this evening, I'm going to have a glass of German beer, and I'm going to raise a glass to you and to your silent partners. Responsible for Live Leak, who brought it to us, and thank you for it, because it was a huge part of my development as a journalist. I really mean that. I know that sounds very pretentious, maybe it does to some people. It was a massive thing. It was always there, and I'll miss it. So thanks for it. Final word to you, pal.
I'm going to spend the rest of my evening being abused by people, and I'm happy that we've closed Live Leak. So I've got nothing ahead of me today apart from dogs abuse. But maybe tomorrow. Oh no, I'm busy all tomorrow as well. Maybe Friday I'll crack a can of Guinness and get a little bit of time to sit down and have a think.
And have a good think, yeah. Sounds good to me. LiveLeak.com will now default to itemfix.com. I'm asking you to check out Alt Feed, all one word, altfeed.org. Check it out. Brand new platform. Very interesting. I am going to put a Richie Allen Show page on there. Of course I am. I just need to get the time to do it. 100%.
I'll just open it.
Yeah, well, you can just open it. Of course you can, on my behalf. But then, you see, that would get me used to being lazy and have people doing things for me. And enough people do enough things for me anyway. But no, mate, thanks for LiveLeak.com. Pass on our thanks to your colleagues. And we'll talk right soon.
Thanks for having me on, mate.
Anytime. The brilliant Hayden Hewitt, folks. Live on the Richie Allen Radio Show this Wednesday, April, May 5th, 2021. Great guy. And nobody has done more in the years I've worked as a journalist to promote free speech and the free flow of information. Nobody has platformed more people that he... Nobody has platformed more people than they totally disagree with. Yes. Yes. No man or woman has given more airtime to people they vehemently disagree with than Hayden Hewitt. And that astonished me when I met him in London back in 2013. Right? It made me a bit guilty, really. And it re-energised me in terms of going to places to find guests who have completely different opinions than mine, to give them that chance to have a chat and all of that. So brilliant stuff and a brilliant guy. Lots of comment on this. Understandably, I'm on Twitter at BBGRitchie. It's at BBGRitchie. That's my Twitter handle. Please drop me a message. I appreciate it. I will appreciate it if you do. Going to take a tune now. And then I'm going to be chatting with Dino Joachim. I hope I pronounced the surname properly. I think I did. Dino's got a hotel on the Isle of Wight and it looks lovely. And Debs, who listens to the programme and who is in contact with me, Debs very kindly overnight sent me an email. She said, Richie, you won't believe it. I've just seen a podcast with a hotelier called Dino and he is lamenting the woke. He's lamenting the mask wearers and the cognitive dissonance people, the people that are going along with lockdown. And he is welcoming with open arms red-pilled people to his hotel, people who see through the lies. And he's used phrases on the website. They're like mask hole to describe somebody who's wearing a mask all the time. And vaxa hole to talk about people who, or to describe people maybe who will be vaccinated. So he's going to be with me in a few minutes' time. Anything you want me to put to him, please do it through BBG Richie. BBG Richie. Where the blooming hell is that song I'm trying to line up there? I'm trying to fill while I'm lining up a song. Yeah, I've got it. Fancied a bit of the Ramones then. So here's the Ramones on the Richie Allen Show with Baby I Love You coming up. Dino Joachim from the Isle of Wight. Don't miss that. You don't want to miss it. Ramones then on the Richie Allen Radio Show. Baby I Love You. And off the top of my head, of course, I should be able to tell you the original song and songwriter, but I'm having one of those days. I can't remember anything. Can't remember my name today. Right, so here we are. I'm delighted to welcome my next guest to the programme. Debs got in touch overnight, as I've already mentioned. She said, Richie, there's a hotel on the Isle of Wight that is welcoming red-pilled guests only and advising mask holes and vaxa holes to stay away. Now, that did give me a proper cheer up this morning, I have to say that. I went onto the hotel's website. It's nightingale-hotel.co.uk. That's www.nightingale-hotel.co.uk. And when you press enter and you get in where to the welcome page, there is a message there that says red-pilled guests only. If you are not awake, you are a sheep and we are not a field for you to graze in. We accept only mask-exempt people. No NWO woke occultists or their minions. No mask holes or vaxa holes. Welcome. Fantastic stuff. Let's welcome to the programme then the owner of the hotel, Dino Joachim. Dino, have I pronounced your surname properly?
Yeah, you're pronouncing it quite well, actually. It's Joachim and yeah. That's
Joachim. Listen, yeah. You're very welcome, mate. Thanks for coming on and thanks to Leela for setting it up. How did this come about then? What prompted the message on the website? Go back to the beginning.
Right, the message on the website. I was being a little bit careful before. I didn't want to put anything directly on the website. While we were closed, I have two signs outside my hotel, one at the front and one at the back. And the artist that painted the drawings on the building, I had him put every week a different message on those signs. One of them was, I will not wear somebody else's fear, and there was a picture of a woman wearing a face mask, and then it said no mask zone underneath. That, and because of the social media posts I was putting up, the Isle of Wight Council threatened me. They came over with a letter and threatened me with a £20,000 fine for the social media posts, which is completely absurd, and then a £2,000 fine for the signs that we had outside. So straight away, I contacted the media here and I made it public so I could then discuss these people publicly on Twitter, because once it's become public, you're allowed to do it legally. They obviously backed off. There was no legal standpoint there where they could actually fine me for that. The hotel was closed at the time and I have my freedom of speech. I can say whatever I want, really. But I was a little bit careful not to put anything directly on the website. But then when we reopened the hotel, I started noticing some of the guests which were coming. I was hoping that we would only have guests that saw our posts on social media, on Instagram, on Twitter. but some of them were turning up and they were wearing masks. Because of that, I removed us now from bookings.com because I don't want to get random bookings with people coming here wearing masks. And, you know, we're not a hospital. We're not the NHS hospital, the Nightingale Hospital. We're the Nightingale Hotel. We're a hospitality establishment. And we want people to feel comfortable here and normality. None of this new norm stuff. None of this great reset, new world order crap. So I think in a spur of anger, I kind of thought, that's it. I'm putting it up on the website now. I don't care what happens. I'm done with that. I'm finished with worrying and fear, you know, the fear of what's going to happen to me, fines, criminal charges. I don't care. And I think because of you now, there's a RT.
RT has picked it up today. That's right, yeah.
So I'm waiting to get raided right now, either by the police, because I publicly announce all the time that I smoke weed. So they're going to possibly use that as an excuse to come in here and just cause trouble for me, or maybe environmental health, or in some other ways. 100% they're cooking something up right now. But I've had enough, and I really don't care. So I just put it up on my website. I'm hoping to deter people which are obsessed with this cult behavior of wearing a mask as political statement, because it has nothing to do with health. There is no science behind it. We're all fed up of it. I just decided to put it up on the website now. So whatever happens, happens.
My audience is trying to reach through their devices now to give you a kiss, women and men, OAPs, because it's great to hear it. And look, let's hope you won't be raided. I'm thinking, knowing Jackie Devi and others, I'm thinking the Mail Online will probably cover it, and they won't sandbag you. I think they'll cover it properly. You know, they'll run a story on it. We've got Dino Joachim on the programme. He owns the Nightingale Hotel on the Isle of Wight. I've given you the address for it already. Lots to talk about. How hard was it, Dino, you know, being told last year you have to shut your business? You're a young man, you know, your partner is a young woman, you've got children. That must have been shocking for you.
Absolutely. I mean, it wasn't just about the hotel. It was everything else. It was our lives. It was the fact that we wanted to travel. We wanted to. I mean, the first possibly for about 2 weeks, we actually believed in all of this. We watched the Wuhan videos. We saw people dropping dead in the street, and we thought, okay, this is serious. And then when it apparently came here to the UK, we realized there is no pandemic. We couldn't see any signs of it. But for a while, yeah, they got to me as well. I remember a shop clerk came a little bit too close to me in the supermarket, and I jumped back.
You jumped away, right? Fair enough. I
mean, they got to me. The fear got to me. But after a while, I noticed the bullshit. It was so obvious. So it wasn't just that we couldn't open up our business. It was the fact that our lives had been completely taken away from us. Our work, our private lives, our social lives, our traveling. But it didn't stop us from living normally completely. I mean, me and Leela, we took a trip to Edinburgh. We flew over there without any masks. We've never worn any masks. So we traveled there without masks. We told everybody we were exempt. We've traveled to Cyprus. We've traveled back, no masks. We've done everything now. And
was that easy, Dino? You know, when you flew to Edinburgh and Cyprus, did you get any hassle at the airports and boarding the planes and stuff?
No, the only people that give us hassles are the people like civilians, the police and officials. They know very well that they shouldn't even ask you, first of all. And some of them would say, like a policeman once said to me, it's funny because we're both together not wearing masks. So it's like, what, you're both exempt? Yes, we're both exempt. So a policeman once asked me in the airport, excuse me, sir, are you aware that you need to wear masks? And I said, yeah, but we're exempt. At the time, I thought I had to show the exempt card. So yeah. We did have one. I realize now, because it says on the government website that they're useless. You don't need to have one. You don't need to show it. So I said to him, do you want to see my exempt card? And he goes, no, sir, no, that you said you're exempt. That's all I needed to hear. And that was the only person that asked me the whole time. Of course, on the plane, though, on the way back, someone asked the stewardess to come up to me and ask me for my exempt card, and then he wanted to inspect it himself personally. I mean, it's the people which are making this continue.
Yeah.
If you read what's on the government website, everyone's exempt. Yeah. If it causes you distress, and I don't see how it can't cause you distress, then you're exempt from it. Who wants to wear a mask around their face the whole day?
On a story on our website today, I've linked to a couple of studies. One which came out of Poland, and these are proper studies now, you know, properly controlled studies. And a study in Poland showed that 35% of young adults experienced breathing difficulties and distress while wearing face masks. In Germany, a study there, these are proper, people can go to the PubMed and the online library sites to see these, or go to my website. Face masks in Germany, they said, have a negative effect on cardiopulmonary capacity and quality of life. The information is out there that these things are dangerous and harmful. And I think you said a few minutes ago, there isn't a scrap of evidence to show that they're in any way helpful against, stopping the spread of transmission. And yet people go about wearing them. And you were finding, weren't you, that when you reopened, people were coming down to the hotel with masks on. That disappointed you. You just don't want to be in that environment. Hence the message.
It's terrible. And it says it on the box, for crying out loud. It says it will not protect you against COVID or SARS. Yeah. So what are we doing here? It literally says it on the box.
It's on the box. I know. I shouldn't laugh. But what more do you need to do to convince people that they're behaving erratically and foolishly? I just don't know. You sound great, but you sound frustrated.
I am frustrated. I've had a few cups of coffee, so I sound a little bit wired. That's, I think, all right. As well.
No, but I mean, you must be in the position that you're in. Again, I want to emphasise you're a young man. You're considerably younger than I am. I'm very impressed. I feel a bit, to be honest, inadequate, really. You know, you're running a hotel at your age. It's a lovely hotel, by the way. It looks beautiful. The photographs, the rooms. You've got Leela with you. You've got your own family. And you're having to deal with, look, it's none of my business, and I don't want numbers, and I don't want to depress you, but financially it must be a big hit on you. And everybody else that's not been able to open up.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, this is what we love. This hotel is my passion. It's not my only work, but it is my passion, and it's my baby. And I've put so much work into this place, and to see it empty and people not here enjoying it, not being able to throw the parties that we throw here. That's my real passion, my cabaret parties that we throw here. It's like a form of art for me. And seeing the performers as well, all my performer friends, not being able to work for so long right now, it's heartbreaking, really. And we've had a few shows afterwards, you know, when lockdown last summer was eased, and we started having a few stage shows here, and it was amazing. It was great. And they kept getting reported. So the police would turn up. And again, the police did their job fine. They would turn up. They came inside. I would open the door, not wearing a mask. They would walk inside the bar, see everybody in the bar, and they just said, no, nothing wrong here, and they'd walk out. And I was like, I don't really get... A lot of people get a lot of grief from the police. That's very unlucky. In 15 months now, I haven't gotten any grief from authority figures.
Why is that, do you think? Is it because you're on the island? Do you think there's a more parochial approach maybe from the police? A more communitarian approach, maybe, no?
Possibly. I think they're just, maybe, hopefully, they're just fed up of policing this ridiculousness. But then again, on New Year's Eve, I was going to have a huge party here. Obviously, lockdown kicked in again. We had to cancel it. I had to refund everybody. That was heartbreaking. All the performers, you know, they didn't get the job. But 15 police officers turned up that night.
15.
50. I didn't know that there were 15 police officers on the island, to be honest. Yeah. And if they were all here, then what about all the criminals which were, you know, committing crimes around the island? And 15 of them came. I knew they were going to turn up. I opened the door and I go, well, I was expecting you guys, but I didn't realize 15 of you were going to turn up. So I let them come inside. We were having a nice dinner in the restaurant all by ourselves. There was a couple that were staying the night, staying a couple of weeks here. And lockdown kicked in while they were here. So they said, do you want us to leave? And I said, of course not. You know, enjoy your holiday. Stay until, you know, your booking's over. And so the police said to them, do you live here? They said, no. They're like, okay, technically you're not supposed to be here, but we're just going to turn a blind eye on that. And it's fine. When are you leaving? In 3 days? Okay, that's fine. And they left. So they're not bad guys. Sometimes they're not bad guys.
No. That's very fair. It's very magnanimous of you. Let me remind our listeners, and I want to give your website again. I mean, I shouldn't do this, but I don't care, you know. Folks, if you want a break, if you want a holiday, a weekend or a week, get on to nightingale-hotel.co.uk. That's www.nightingale-hotel.co.uk. The hotel owner is on the line with me right now. His name is Dino Joachim. I'm delighted that he's on. Massive interest in this story, understandably, not only from people listening to the programme, but I know some business owners, obviously here in the UK, but also in Ireland, and they're rooting for Dino and his family, and they're pulling for him, and they're delighted that he's made the stand. You have to laugh out loud at the message, and you'd have to have kind of, you would need to have had a sense of humour bypass not to smile at the message. It's fantastic. Red-pilled guests only. If you are not awake, you are a sheep, and we are not a field for you to graze in. We accept only mask-exempt people. No NWO woke occultists or their minions. No mask holes or vaxa holes welcome. Fantastic stuff. Since that went up on the site and since you did the podcast and we've talked about it, RT have talked about it, I'm hoping that you'll start to see a few bookings.
Yes, that's not the most important thing to
me. No, I know that. I know that, but still.
For me, we went to the march a couple of weeks ago and we stayed at a lovely hotel. I don't want to name it, and because it's not my place to name the hotel and what they allowed us to do. They did message and asked if I was coming down for work or leisure. So they did their due diligence. I replied that it was for work. And I have some work in London, so I wasn't exactly lying. When I turned up, they made me sign a piece of paper saying that I was there for work. They didn't ask us to put on masks. They were very chilled out and very cool about everything. And this is a major hotel chain as well in central London. The thing is, the problem is that a lot of hotels are doing this. A lot of hotels are just ignoring the restrictions, but they're not publicly announcing. I am.
This is brilliant, Dino. This is civil disobedience by other means, mm-hmm. isn't it? It's very good, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's great, but they need to start announcing it and they need to open up like I have and just say, you know what, we're open. We don't care if you're coming down for work or for leisure. We do not care about masks. If they announce it publicly and we all do this together, this will end. They're whatever they're doing, this world takeover that they're doing, will fall apart if we all decide to say enough is enough.
Yeah.
And I know that so many people feel the same way. So many businesses feel the same way, but they're scared. They're very scared. Like when I got that letter saying, you know, £22,000 fine, a lot of people would have shat their pants and thought, shit.
I might have done. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. How am I going to pay for this fine? I can't afford that. It's going to ruin me. How am I going to pay for my kids' school and my food? But I just thought, hell no, I'm going to battle this straight away. I put my foot down. I went all out, Twitter, publicly. I called up the newspapers. You have to battle. You have to grow a pair and fight this.
This is brilliant stuff, Dino. Amen. You need to grow a pair. I know some people that are doing it, and like you, they are refusing to ask customers to mask up. They're refusing to implement social distancing. I love it. Heartbreaking for me today. I've gotten to know Laura, who runs the railway in Moberly in Cheshire. And at the moment, as you well know, pubs are only allowed to serve in beer gardens. The weather has been...
weather we're having, right, for that.
Oh, horrendous, isn't it? And there she is today, Laura. And the customers are, you know, want to come and have a beer, but they can't because she's not allowed to serve them indoors. It's insane. It's sick. It's tyrannical. I don't know what else I can say. I've used every adjective that I can think of to describe it.
But doesn't she, though? Why doesn't she just allow them in? I'm allowing my customers to drink inside. And I'm saying this right now, and possibly they're going to say, oh, we heard you say that you allowed your customers and your guests and to come and drink inside and serve them like normal people and use the pool room and use this. We heard you say that. Yeah, but catch me doing it. Catch me doing it. I mean, you can't just arrest me or fine me for something that I'm saying. I could be lying right now.
Be lying, yeah. Yeah, I think you are lying, just as a matter of interest. I don't think you are doing any of this. But we'll put it like that. We'll put it like that. Patricia in Zurich. How are you doing, Patricia? Asks a good question. is wearing masks a law or a random rule? Is it guidance? Is it guidelines? Can people be fined and put in prison? Dino, this is very strange because I've seen barristers at law writing in national newspapers claiming that none of this is underpinned by legislation, that it's guidance and guidelines, and that the police are on pretty shaky ground when they stop people in supermarkets and tell them they should be wearing a mask. You'll obviously have looked into it as a businessman. What do you say to Patricia's question? Is the government backed by law, or is this basically guidance and guidelines and people are being suckered into going along with it?
I'm sorry, I have to disappoint you there. I haven't looked into it and I couldn't give two shits. I don't know what their new rules are. I don't know what I don't follow it. I don't watch the news. I don't know what all these restrictions are anymore. I've left the Hotel Association here on the Isle of Wight, which they normally send everybody the restrictions and everything. I stopped paying for that. And I said to them, don't bother sending me any of that. That was that last email I sent to them. I don't want to know. I know how to run a hotel and I know how to run it safe. I've studied in Switzerland. I've studied microbiology in hospitality university. I know how to keep my guests safe. We sanitize the hotel. We sanitize the tanks. We sanitize the showers. We do all of that every single year. We have certain procedures that we have to do so that we can keep our guests safe. And that's what I'm going to continue doing. I'm not going to do any more than that.
Good man.
Because I've tried to catch this virus. I've anything short of walking into a COVID ward and having a patient, rubbing him on my
face.
What
more do you need to do?
What more can I do? Am I one of those superhumans that that doesn't get affected by it? I have a 75-year-old regular that comes every year. She caught it. She went to the hospital, spent a week, came out, and she's fine. She's alive. If she can survive it, then anybody can survive it.
Then anybody can. What about yours and Leela's parents? How do they feel about all of this?
Oh, we've lost a lot of friends and a lot of family over this, and people turned vicious on us because of our views last year. Everyone turned against us. So I publicly announced my views, my support for Trump. I publicly announced that I didn't believe in the pandemic. I'm not a COVID denier. I'm a pandemic denier.
Yeah.
And I also publicly announced that I believe that Black Lives Matter was a political movement funded by the left and had nothing to do with supporting the black culture and black...
But you're entitled to your opinion. Why would that be a problem for anybody else? That's your opinion. You've a right to that.
Absolutely. But they went vicious on me. I had to leave Facebook. They created hate campaigns against us. Now, my sisters have gotten vaccinated. My dad's vaccinated. My mom, bless her, thank God, she's not going to take the vaccine. She has some sense. She understands that it's an experimental drug and she doesn't want to put it in her body. Unfortunately, Leela's parents, they're all for this as well, which is really, really strange because they're kind of hippies a little bit. So you would have thought that they would be against all this, but they're not. They're for it. I shouldn't really talk for her, really, so I'd like to skip that. But many people who we thought would be against this and were holistic, like I study Buddhism, so many. I saw the Dalai Lama get the vaccine, for crying out loud.
You're kidding me.
No, I was like, why? Why is he, half of his followers believe in, stones and healing stones and sage, and suddenly telling them to go get vaccinated? It was terrible. So I respect him and I love him, but at the same time, I disagree with that action there. So it's very strange what's going on. But we're so happy to get all the support that we've got recently. And we're so grateful. Honestly, if to everyone that's listening, thank you so much for all of your emails that we're getting every single day. More and more emails with just lots of support and lots of love.
I'm delighted to hear it.
But we've gained a lot.
That's a lovely way of looking at it. You might have lost some friends, but you've gained more. And maybe the friends you've lost will come back into your lives again. Let's hope so. On the parents thing, I have permission from my own missus to give this a mention, because I love my partner is French, and obviously her mum is French, and I love her mum. I'll always love her mum. She's a great lady, comes to see us, but her mum has had the vaccine, and they had a bit of an argument today. It wasn't serious. They'll speak again tomorrow, but her mum has been so taken in by it, she feels that by Caroline not having the vaccine, Dino, that Caroline might be putting a big dent in her own future. that it might be it might upset her future in terms of where she might be able to travel and what she might be able to do. And that's a, you know, paradoxically, her mum should think even deeper about that and think, well, that's tyrannical. But her mum has had the vaccine or is about to have the Moderna vaccine, and she wants Caroline to have it. And of course, Caroline's not going to have it, not because of me, because of her own understanding of things. And I reckon this is going on in a lot of families, you know. It's not just me and you. It's breaking up families, this, I reckon.
That's the real pandemic right there. That's the real pandemic right there. It's heartbreaking to see how many families have broken up, and friendships, and the stories I read on Twitter are really heartbreaking to see what this has done to all of us, the division that it's caused. And I can understand that, yeah, there is that fear. Well, where, you know, what kind of future do we have now if they expect us to be vaccinated, to get jobs and to travel? I love to travel. How am I going to travel now? And this is why I'm fighting. I want to travel with my children. I want my children to be free. There's no way they're getting vaccinated. I will kill anybody that comes near my kids with a vaccine. And yet, you know, here we are. And every day just seems like it's getting worse and worse, and that we're losing the battle. But there's so many of us, and we're growing in numbers, and we need to collect together and not just march from Hyde Park 11 miles across London. That was the longest walk of my life. My legs almost fell off. I have fibromyalgia and I have osteoarthritis in both my knees. So the arthritis triggered off my fibromyalgia. So for about a week, I was dead. My whole body was in so much pain. I thought I got hit by a truck.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing that again unless we march outside 10 Downing Street and all of us. I mean, it seemed like there was a million people there. There were so many. It was an ocean of people. And until we do something substantial, I don't see the point of going for a walk. And the podcaster Ben that I was speaking to yesterday, you know, that's the point he was trying to make as well, that what is the point of it? Just to go for a walk around London, come back after, once a month.
I agree.
The government doesn't care.
No, it doesn't. It's what the government expects people to do. It's quite happy for people to march in great numbers. I'm glad you said this because I agree with it. I love the fact that people go, and I think for some people it gives them a bit of spiritual rejuvenation. And maybe you got, I know it hurt you physically, obviously, but maybe you got a big kick out of it in terms of the spiritual feeling of being around open-minded, clever people. That's brilliant, but I'm with you 100%. It's not good enough. They're not going to stop this. They have no intention of stopping it. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. And I was going to ask you about the thing that baffles me more than anything. You know, what do those reasonably intelligent 60-somethings and 70-somethings who've had their two doses now, and yet they're still being told not to go and see your grandchildren, they're still being told not to do this, they're still being told to wear masks, at what point, do you know, do they think, Jesus, maybe I've been had? Maybe I've been had here. Maybe I've been fooled. The cognitive dissonance is affecting me, I think.
Huge. Yeah. It's huge. I can't relate. I can't understand what's going through their mind. But at first, I didn't care if they got their vaccine, the older lot. I thought, you know, if you get the vaccine, that's fine because you've lived your life. But young people, you know, it could be sterilizing them. It could shorten their lifespan. So that's what's concerning there. But this is what I thought before. But then the other day, I visited a friend of mine, and I hugged him, and then I sat there with him for a while. And then after a little while, I started feeling ill, as if I was catching something, like a cold or something. And I was like, oh God, what if I have COVID now, and I'm going to pass it on to him, and he's old and vulnerable. And then I said to him, by the way, are you going to get the vaccine? He goes, oh, I've had both of them. I've had both my shots. I thought, motherfucker, you've just passed it on to me. Literally, I started feeling sick, and I think they're shedding it. And this is why I don't want them around me anymore.
You think he might? We don't know this for a fact now. I've got to be fair here. We don't know but I understand why you're saying it. Listen, I've had people contact the program. I've had a woman called Kelly, who I've known for years, come on the program and tell me that women are having menstrual problems when they are around vaccinated people. So I wouldn't rule it out, but we don't know for sure. But I understand why. So that's interesting. So that's another reason why you would say, listen, vaccinated people don't come around the hotel. Right. Fair enough.
But we don't know what they put in their body.
No.
I don't know what's in there. And if they put COVID in there, then they have COVID. I don't really understand. I've never taken a flu vaccine. And yet people who take the flu vaccine every year, they get sick. And they get sick almost every year, really, really bad. And I'm sat there healthy as a horse. And I never take the vaccine. That's to me is weird. So I'm not going to take this vaccine because it seems like COVID, and COVID is a cold, right? Coronavirus is part of the cold family.
Correct.
Family. Or
cold. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it's the same thing then. So if I don't have to take the flu vaccine and I stay healthy, then why would I have to take this vaccine?
Why would you need to take this? Can I ask you, I should have done this from the beginning. I'll do it now. Before I do, I'm going to give the website a mention again. www.nightingale-hotel.co.uk. It's not hyphen. It's slash. No, it is hyphen. Nightingale-hotel.co.uk. Nightingale-hotel.co.uk. I'll put another link on Twitter. By the way, in case anyone is wondering, because there will be skeptics listening, this is not a paid promotion for the hotel. Dino hasn't bought advertising time with the programme. I reached out to him because Debs, who listens to the programme, listened to Dino on a podcast last night with Ben. She thought he was brilliant. He obviously is. He's on with me now. There's nothing in it for him. There's nothing in it for me. So you got to understand that. So that's a fact. Just get that right out of there. I want you to sell the hotel because it looks different. It looks lovely. It looks gothic. The rooms look beautiful and warm, but also a bit mysterious. What's going on with the Nightingale Hotel? What is it? Tell us about it.
It's my canvas. It's my canvas. So this is my expression. It doesn't resemble a hotel. It resembles a mansion, like somebody's house. And that's how I want people to feel. They come in, yeah, there's a reception, and then there's a billiard room, and there's a bar, and there's a breakfast room. So we have the facilities, but you don't get that kind of uniform look there. You know, the same furniture, all the chairs are different, all the tables are different. It feels like you're in somebody's home. And yes, it is very gothic, and it does feel like you're in some kind of Transylvanian castle.
Lovely.
Yeah, and that's my style. I was raised in Hampstead. I went to college in Belsize Park, and I hanged out in Camden Town every single day. I love Camden Town. My daughters love Camden Town. The best days, my daughter, every time we had daddy-daughter day, it would be in Camden Town.
Lovely.
We'd go there, we'd do a bit of shopping, we'd eat in the market there. I love Camden Town. So that's kind of my inspiration, a little bit on the outside of the building. On the inside of the building, I love antiques, and I love this gothic style. And it was even when I was younger, even my music, I've gone through so many different types of styles of music. I'm not just, you know, I don't just listen to rock. I used to listen to rap. I used to listen to techno. I used to listen to classical music, and all of it has always been a little bit dark. It was always the dark side of that. My style, I like dressing in black. So it's no surprise that I decorated the hotel like this. Some of the rooms are a lot, you know, brighter. I've got a Trump room now, Donald Trump room, which I want to dedicate.
A Trump room, fantastic. Tell us about it.
It's gold, it's sparkly. You go in and it's just, if it's a sunny day, it's just sparkling. The wallpaper is gold, the furniture is gold. It cost me a fortune to make because obviously he's got expensive taste. And it's just stunning. And it was just a room I wanted to dedicate to him because he did so much for us for the 4 years, or at least the 3 years, because the last year they kind of took that away from him. But the 3 years and not starting any wars. To me, you know, I'm Cypriot as well. So I was raised half the time in the UK, half the time in Cyprus because my parents were divorced. My mom was in Cyprus. My dad was in the UK. So in Cyprus, I remember when I was a kid, all the wars that were happening all the time and the fear the bombs might be dropped on us by accident.
Yeah, you were in close proximity, yeah.
Yeah, I could see the planes flying over us, and it was scary and it was heartbreaking to see, you know, in Syria, babies washing up on our beaches. It was, how many wars do we have to get into? And why is it continuing that? You know, this is all manipulated and it's all created by the people who are in power for money. And Libya was an eye-opener because they started negotiating who was going to get the oil before they even invaded the country.
That's right.
To me, I was like, wait a minute, what's going on here? They're not even trying to hide it anymore. They're just, you know, they're blatantly saying, yeah, we're going to invade the country because he's not playing ball and we're going to take his oil. Well,
and the psychotic Hillary Clinton saying on camera with, I don't know whether it was CNN, pre-interview, we saw he died. The acknowledgement of a crime, of going into a country, murdering a leader and grinning about it goofily as if it's great fun. Lunatics, these people. Hey, listen, just for the record, it doesn't matter a damn this. It does not matter a damn. I'm no fan of Donald Trump or any politician. My listeners know that. But that doesn't matter.
I was just happy that he didn't start a war. That's the thing. I had no idea who he was. I heard that, you know, he owned the Plaza Hotel in New York. And I remember when I was a kid, I stayed there and I met his wife.
Did you know? Fantastic. Which one, Dino? Because he's had about 200. Which one of them did you meet?
Yeah. The one that was managing the hotel. She was the first one or something. I don't know. I can't remember now. They all sound like they have similar names as well.
Yeah. He liked Eastern European type women, didn't he?
He does, doesn't he? I was missing my two front teeth. I was very small and I got sick from some oysters that I ate or something. So I walked up to her and I said, Madam, your hotel stinks. And my father would never let me forget.
Fantastic. That's the best anecdote I've heard on this program. Well, for quite a while. We had a great one on New Year's, Christmas Eve, didn't we, with Spiro. He's listening in with great interest. Spiro Skouras, terrific journalist, listening with great interest to Dino Joachim. Dino is the man running, the owner of the Nightingale Hotel on the Isle of Wight. And it was brilliant to hear from Debs overnight, a listener to the programme, who said, Richie, check this guy out. He's had enough now of this nonsense. And he's opening up his hotel to red-pilled people who understand what's going on. Nightingale-hotel.co.uk. It's obvious from what you said a moment ago, Dino, with the children. You see, I don't have any children. I'm 46. I'd love to have. We're trying. You know, if there is a God, maybe it might happen. Maybe we're too old. Who knows? But you're a dad. Leela is a mum. It's a bit different, isn't it, when you have children looking at this?
Leela is my partner. She's not the mother of my children. She, you know, she's like a mother to them.
Yeah, forgive me.
They're from my ex-wife.
Forgive me for getting that wrong. But obviously, okay. Different perspective, isn't it? You have a different perspective to me. I'm looking around and I'm seeing what it's doing to people. I obviously empathise with families and children, but I don't have a child of my own. My previous guest, Hayden, has his own son. Different for you, looking ahead to what their lives might be like in the next 10 to 15 years.
That's what's driving me right now. That's what's driving me. You know, I'm 40 years old and I've lived a life which some people, you know, I've lived 1,000 lives in this life, and I've seen the world. I've traveled everywhere. I've gone to Tibet and I've gone all over the world. I've seen so many things. That's fine. You want to stick me in my house for the rest of my life? That's okay. But my two kids, they have their whole life ahead of them. They have ambitions. They have dreams. They want to travel the world as well. And right now they're scared. You know, they don't know what's going on. They want to live a normal life. And even though they're young, it's not like I'm pumping their head with fear. The government's doing that. The
school,
luckily, the school over here is quite good. They're really open-minded. They're not enforcing masks, which is amazing. And they don't have some of the crazy stuff that I've seen online, you know, shields around their desks or stickers on the floors. Oh my God, some of these places, you feel like you've walked into, you know, a space hospital or something, and there's stickers on the floors and you have to walk this direction. And if you don't walk that direction, they tell you, I'm sorry, you have to go this way. And I just tell them to fuck off. I'm like, listen, I'm not staring at the floor when I'm walking and go where I want to go.
Fantastic. And have the children spoken to you or to their mum about it? I always wonder about that. Have the kids confided and said, hey, listen, Dad, you know, we're wondering about this. What's really going on?
Yes, they have. I'm a little bit worried about saying too much here because the last thing I need is social
services. No, fair enough.
Kids away from me, you know. It's I battled for 13 months to get my children back after the divorce. You know, no divorces, well, very few divorces end peacefully, so it was a battle of the roses, really. And it took me 13 months, most of my money. I got my kids back, and I got shared custody of them, and even managed to say in court, no, I do not intend on stopping, you know, my weed. I will continue smoking weed. I have fibromyalgia, I have this. And the judge accepted that. So, but I battled like crazy for 13 months. And I've heard so many stories of fathers trying to get their kids back 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. The reason they can't is because they don't afford it. They can't afford it. I had to spend £150,000 on lawyers and court fees to get them back, and in the quickest way possible. And that was 13 months of hell. So I don't want to say anything right now that might risk me losing them again.
No, fair enough. We'll leave that right there. Well, it's been brilliant speaking with you. We've only got 2 or 3 minutes left on the program tonight anyway.
Can I say anything
you like, my friend? Go ahead.
To businesses which don't want to go as far as I did and write what I did on the website, which, you know, I think I reached my limit, and that's why I put that there. I was very careful before. So I said, this hotel will only accept people who are exempt from wearing masks. I think that's perfectly acceptable legally. I'm not asking anyone to take off their masks. I'm not forcing them to take off their masks. It's how you word things. Have a little think about it and see how you can word things so that you and use loopholes, and then, you know, publicly announce that they can't do anything to you. Look at what happened. They tried to threaten me with £22,000 fines, but they didn't succeed. Now with what I posted online, yeah, you know, that there's a big risk there that I'm opening myself up to legal issues, whatever, but so be it. Honestly, so be it. I actually want to get a fine now. I want to go to court. I want to be arrested. I've had enough. Me and Leela are heading down to 10 Downing Street on Monday. And so long as the weather's okay, yeah, because honestly, I'm not going to sit there for 5 days camping outside in the rain. I don't want to die from pneumonia, which is actually something that can kill you.
Not too pleasant, yeah.
Yeah, so we will go there. We want to get some signs. We want to sit outside 10 Downing Street. I know it might sound silly and useless and pointless, but I have to do something. We have to do something. I don't want to just sit on my ass and do nothing. We have to fight back, and I'm hoping more people are going to join us. And then when we have to leave to go pick up the girls on Friday for the week that we have them, hopefully somebody's going to take our place. The week after, we'll come back and take their place. Something needs to happen. I'm going to have a sign there saying we want Boris and the rest of those clowns out of there. We don't want them in there anymore. The government's supposed to work for us. We don't work for the government. And right now it's gone beyond that. I've always felt like a bit of a slave to the government. You've got to pay taxes. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. They come and check on you. But it's gone to a point right now where it's like, no, you're our slaves. Accept it. You know, no, I won't accept
you're
it.
You're not going to have it. You're not going to have it. Apart from the, if we just leave the hotel website to one side for a moment, is there somewhere else where people can read about, say, you going to Downing Street with Leela on Monday? Is there somebody else? Is there some other online place where people can get involved with that? Like Facebook
besides
or something?
The what? Because you cut out before you said besides.
Oh, my apologies. Besides the hotel website, because the hotel website is the business.
My Twitter account. I had a personal Twitter account, Dino Joachim, and that got taken down. And then my work one, the Nightingale Mansion, didn't get taken down. I can't create a new one for Dino Joachim. I tried. They immediately took that down straight away. For some reason, they're allowing me to keep my business one. So I'm posting a lot of stuff there.
Let me give that Twitter handle. It's @Nightingale_31. That's the one, isn't it? I think I've gotten that right.
Yes. Thank you.
@Nightingale_31. If you follow me on Twitter, just look at my tweets, my recent tweets. I've included Dino's, the Nightingale Hotel Twitter handle. So give him a follow, folks, and find out more about him. And if you can support that Downing Street protest, do if you're in London and it's convenient for you. I'd like to see the next time 500,000 people or more go to London. I would like to see them peacefully. I'm non-violent, as I know you are, peacefully descend on Downing Street and let your voices be heard there, but peacefully. Violence is, a knife for an eye makes the whole world blind. I believe that sincerely. I'll give you the final word, but before I do, the Nightingale Hotel, read all about it at www.nightingale-hotel.co.uk. You've been listening to the hotel owner, Dino Joachim. Fantastic listening to this for the last hour. I've loved having you on, Dino. Final word to you, mate, and thank you for giving us your time. I could have gone into the fibromyalgia and the cannabis and why it's helpful. That's hugely of great interest to my audience. Maybe we'll do it in the future. Let's do it in the future. Why not? But final word to you on today's discussion, and thank you.
I think the final word, I just want to send some love and express my respect to David Icke, who's on the island here. Yes. And, you know, he's lived a life trying to show us truth. And besides, you know, he was ridiculed. And now the latest thing is saying that he's a controlled opposition. It's like, can we please have respect for somebody that's been trying to show us truth for so many years?
Hear, hear.
Start turning against everybody. I understand certain charities are no good, but if we turn against every charity saying that they're all bad, then who's left to actually do any good in the world? And David Icke has been trying to spread truth. And he's here on the island, and I admire him so much. I have not met him, but I'm so happy that, you know, we're both here on the island. We're both fighting for truth, both fighting for freedom. And I really disagree with people which are trying to put him down, saying that he's controlled opposition. I do not believe that. So I just want to send out some love and appreciation and respect to him.
He might pop around the hotel for a cup of coffee some morning and surprise you and Leela and the staff there. Dino, thanks. Stay in touch, mate. And we'll talk again. You're very welcome, buddy. Lovely to speak to you today. That was Dino Joachim there, live from his hotel, the Nightingale Hotel, on the Isle of Wight. And I will give the hotel address again. That's the website address. It's nightingale-hotel.co.uk. Nightingale-hotel.co.uk. What a character. What a life, eh? You love that anecdote about being at the Trump Hotel and criticising the hotel to one of Trump's many former wives. That's a proper story, that. And just to give you the Twitter thingamajig again, he's on Twitter. It's at Dino under, excuse me. It's at Nightingale_31. At Nightingale_31. Good stuff, eh? Yeah, I mean, one of the things we've probably talked about quite a bit in the course of the last 14 months or 15 months, we've talked quite a lot, we've lamented it, I suppose, is why more businesses, more businessmen and women didn't do a bit more for themselves, you know. Simon Dolan was on the programme quite a few times. Simon did his best to challenge this scamdemic, this hoax, legally, didn't he? And I think he was shortchanged, as I'm sure you do. And it's blown his mind at how businesses have acquiesced to it, have accepted it, while their businesses are going down the tubes, basically. I've never been able to understand that. You've known me for years. I've never made myself out to be a big man. I might be physically big, but I've never made myself out to be a big man or a tough guy. I'm not a tough guy. But I couldn't sit idly by while my business was ruined and just go along with it. I would open and I would ask my staff to come in and to prepare for meeting the public and for selling our goods or whatever. And if that meant that I was dragged out of the place kicking and screaming, well, so be it. I couldn't just sit idly by. He's not taking it anymore, is Dino Joachim, and more power to his elbow. And hopefully it'll inspire more people to follow his lead, you know, and to say, no, I'm not going to sit idly by. I'm not going to accept the ruination of the thing I've worked hard for, my business and my family. I'm not going to accept it. I'm just going to ignore the guidance and the nonsense, and I'm going to carry on. I've said that too many times on the programme, so I'll leave that there for now. That's pretty much it for me today. I want to thank, of course, Hayden Hewitt for coming on earlier on. Go to altfeed.org, by the way. Itemfix.com. Itemfix.com. Altfeed.org. Wonderful bloke. And it is a sad day that LiveLeak.com is no longer there, but I understand why it isn't there. It makes sense to me. It's been a gift to me as a journalist over the years. So congratulations to everything they achieved there, Hayden and his silent co-partners. Hayden was always the public face of it. And once again, thanks to Dino Joachim. Good luck to him and to partner Leela and family on the Isle of Wight in running their hotel in the future. And yeah, he won't be hopefully getting any knocks on doors from the police. He did say that the police are taking a more pragmatic and a more fair, even-handed approach to things. He did say that during the conversation. Hopefully that will continue. We'll speak tomorrow at 5 as usual. Until then, it's a bye for me. Look after yourselves and one another. Going out of the programme with this from Fleetwood Mac. This is Don't Stop, of course. Bye.